I bring you a word from King Jesus this morning. The covenant keeping God. Please make my timer work. Let me see if I can do a good job in 50 minutes. Somebody believe in God with me, say amen. Amen. All the doubting pharmacists say, Do I have doubting pharmacists in this house? Lord, have mercy on them. Psalm 89, and I'm going to be in verse. Caleb, I know you are not part of the doubting pharmacists. They have not corrupted you. You are still fresh. Glory to God. Psalm 89 from verse 20, and I'll take it up to verse 35. Psalm 89 from verse 20. If you are there, say amen. We're talking about the covenant keeping God. It's going to be a series, but I'm starting it today. I'm laying the foundation, and this is really going to change somebody's life, online and on site. Amen. Psalm 89, verse 20, are you there? Let us read together from God's word very quickly. One, two, go. I have found David. I can't hear you. One, two, go. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Don't stop reading. Verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. I can't afford to do that. The next verse. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Can I have an amen to that? May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. I encourage you to read God's word every day. It is sweet to your spiritual taste. Every sense that you have in the physical, we have five senses. We also have the same in the spiritual. It said, oh, taste in Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can taste the Lord. You can taste the word of God. You can taste and see. As you can taste in the natural and see in the natural, you can taste in the spirit and see in the spirit. You remember the servant of Elisha, the prophet, when they came and they surrounded the house. And Elisha prayed for him, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And his eyes were open. The eyes were open, I thought, because in the natural they were open. But the spiritual eyes were not. But the moment the Lord opened the spiritual eyes, he could see all of the angel armies that surrounded them, chariots of fire, more than the Boko Haram that surrounded them. Can I have an amen? Amen. The covenant-keeping God. One of the things I love about God, one of the things that make God, God, is the fact that he never changes. People change. Things change. Times change. Seasons change. The weather changes. Some time ago it was cold. We didn't need an air conditioner in this hall. But right now some of you are fanning yourselves because the weather has changed. Now it is hot. Enjoy it while it lasts. Can I have an amen? You have changed over time. You were not looking like this 15 years ago. If we do a throwback and bring up your picture 15, 20 years ago, Some of you say, oh, no, come on. Pastor, don't project that, come on. That's unfair. You're looking all naturally rotund now. Some of you guys looking very handsome. You have your beards grown, your biceps and triceps and six packs. You were not like that 20 years ago. I can promise you were not like that 20 years ago. And some of the babes that we see now looking very beautiful, and they're all set. They were not set 20 years ago. So people change, and in 20 years' time, you are not going to be the same. So some of you that are slim right now, enjoy the days of being slim, because the days come when baby fat will be added. Some of the guys with six packs now, enjoy it while it lasts, because the days come when the pot will be sitting in your belly. Because you're going to be fed in the morning, fed in the afternoon, fed. Some of you have fake six packs right now. Your six packs is occasioned by the fact that it is 101 you eat, or 001 or 100. It's not regular, it's not constant. And these are the days you're still working hard, you're going to school, you're studying, but the time is coming. Whether you go out or not, somebody is going to cook your meal. The meal is constant. So enjoy your physique right now. I guarantee you the days are coming when things are going to change. Some of you have full hair on your head right now. Glory be to God. Enjoy it while it lasts. A time is coming. Some construction company will send you a contract because they want to create a highway on your head, maybe from the side. You may look at my head and be laughing right now. Don't worry, it's okay. I did it to the people ahead of me, but now is my time. Glory be to God. Your own time too is coming in the name of Jesus. Woohoo! I give you all of those illustrations just to let you know that we change. In Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, while this earth remaineth, seed, time, harvest, day and night, heat and cold, winter and summer will not cease. So the Bible tells us about the fact that one thing that is constant in this realm of existence is change. Change is constant. And you see, people change. One day they called him Hosanna. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The next day, they said, crucify him. He's an idiot. Same people. Same people. One day they love you. The next, they're criticizing you. Same people. You don't even know, as I'm talking to you right now, who has made up their mind after this service to walk out on you. You don't know. They're just waiting for the end of the service. Some people leave, some come. That's the way life is. But God never changes. He said to us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I am God. I change not. I am the Lord. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Why are you not consumed? Because I do not change. Because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. David said that in Psalm 121 as he lifted up his eyes to the hills and said, whence cometh my help? I need help from a source that doesn't change. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And he went on in verse 2. Go on to verse 2 now. Media or verse 3, media. Go on to verse 3. David speaking. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, verse 4. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God is awake 24/7. That's why he doesn't change. Do you know that when you bring a decision before someone, like a proposal, business proposal, people normally would say, let me go and sleep over it. You know, babe, I really, sis, sorry, sis, I've been seeing you in church and I don't know if we really could be friends or stuff like that, you know, just maybe can have your mobile. I mean, I don't mean any harm, just to be friends, you know, just to be friends. And then she will say, well, let me go and sleep over it. Maybe at the time you're saying it, she's smiling like, and then in your mind, green light, green light, green light. But the moment she goes on to sleep over it, she may come back the next day and say, I'm sorry, I don't really give my mobile number to strangers. Oh, no, I'm not a stranger. I'm a member of the church. Oh, glory be to God. God bless you, brother. See you. Boom. Because she has slept over it. In the course of people sleeping over decisions, decisions change. Are you getting what I'm saying?
very good business proposal, and they've given you their word, and then you go back and they say, sorry, we've given it to someone else. Has anybody ever suffered something like that before? Because I've been there a number of times. Why does God not change? He doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber. He's the same. The same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And man, I love the God that doesn't change. Whatever he was in the past, he is right now. And is forever he's going to be. If God was ever good, what does it mean that God, how can we describe God right now? Is he still good? According to the word of God, it says he doesn't change. So if he was ever good, is he still good? The psalmist wrote, will he forever be good? Now the psalmist wrote in Psalm 106 and Psalm 107 verse 1 and Psalm 118 verse 1. It says the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good. The Lord, praise ye the Lord, oh give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. He wrote this several years ago. God is good. Is he still good today? I love that kind of God because he doesn't change. That's why the writer of James in James 1:17 said, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from heaven, the Father of heavenly light, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. He doesn't turn. No, he doesn't turn. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may his name forever be praised in the name of Jesus. One other thing that doesn't change about God, apart from the fact that God does not change in his nature and character, you also need to understand that his promises do not change. His promises are not mere words. The promises of God are covenant promises, and they do not change. That's why they cannot fail. Can I have an amen to that? Can I have a better amen? Come on, I'm in a youth church. It's too early to sleep, baby. We're talking about the covenant-keeping God. His promises can be suitably described as covenant promises, as against casual promises that men make to one another. Some people made casual promises last Friday. It was Valentine. I will do anything for you. I will do anything, girl, anything for you. I mean, you took her to Shandy's, a place like Shandy's, very cool. Calm atmosphere, dim lights, not floodlights, dim lights, baby. Nice ambience. Place smells good. You're not sweating. The air conditioners are working fine. Serene, oh, glory be to God. Romantic environment. And someone said, I will cross the ocean for you. I will go and bring you the moon, yeah. I will be your hero, your strength. Pardon me, I can't sing soprano. I will be your sun in the sky. I will light your way for all time. And you know, ladies like that. Some of them, they're feeling goosebumps right now. Like, Pastor, no, stop serenading us. Oh my God, it's good to fall in love. Glory be to God. But a lot of times, you sure know that those promises are casual promises. The same person that says, I will cross the ocean for you, if you by any chance take them near Eleyele River. It is not an ocean, it's just a river. I'll take them to River Niger. Are you the craze? I should cross River Niger to go and die because of you? For what? If you don't want to do it again, walk away, I will get another girl. Why would I cross River Niger? But you said I will cross the ocean. I will go and bring you the moon. So, and there is only one moon in the whole world. When I bring it to you, baby, there'll be no moon again in the world. Casual, empty promises that will never be fulfilled is one of the characteristics of human beings. Same people that love you today don't want to see your face tomorrow. God is not like that. I'm giving you, presenting this sharp contrast so that you can see, because some of us have depended on people all our lives and we have transferred our negative and bitter experiences from people to God. So when we are relating to God and you read the word of God and it says you are healed, you say, how can I be healed? Am I sure that I'm really going to be healed? You are not the first to say that. There was a man called Zechariah in the Bible. If you look into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, chapter 2, there was a man there called Zechariah. He was even a high priest. His wife Elizabeth was barren. They didn't have a child. And this man was in the holiest of all. He was making offerings and sacrifices to God. And angel Gabriel came from God and said, Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. Your wife Elizabeth is going to be with the child, and you are going to name, you're going to name that guy John. And the man said, how am I going to know? How am I sure? I mean, but you've been praying. Why were you praying when you were not sure that God would answer? Now, an answer has come from God. An angel has appeared. And you were afraid. And he said, don't be afraid. And he said, so, so, and so. The Lord has said, he has given a promise and it's going to happen. And you say, am I sure? Is that not an insult? Even to me, Pastor Fred, as your pastor, if I tell you, now, after service, I'm going to buy you meat pie. I mean, I'm not so that I won't be able to buy you meat pie. Meat pie. I said, Pastor, how is it sure that you buy meat pie now? I will feel insulted. If you make a promise to your friend, something you are ready to do, you can do, and they doubt you, you will feel insulted. Let us not be relating to God like that. Gabriel had to tell him his identity. Listen up. I am. Angels just don't tell you your name. They just don't do that. They only speak words authorized by God. They don't speak their own words. They speak words authorized by God. The first angel that tried to speak his own words, God cast down from heaven. His name is Lucifer, who now became Satan, the devil, with all the rebels that went with him. Angels normally, they only bring whatever they say, whatever God authorizes them to say is what they say. Gabriel had to tell Zechariah, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Do you think he just said it very casually? I'm Gabriel. That stand in the presence of God. No. I figure, I wasn't there that day, but in the realm of the spirit, I figure, Gabriel shouted at that guy, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I brought you good news from the presence of God, and you're still doubting it? From the very presence of God. If they bring you a mail, they call it royal mail, from Buckingham Palace in England, or from the Home Office, won't you believe it? Or from Department of State in the U.S., Homeland Security. You will believe it. It has the seal of the government of the United States. You will believe it. Or a seal from Abuja, from the federal government of Nigeria. You will believe it. Somebody has come from God and you're still doubting. Because many times we think that God makes casual promises like we do. God has no respect for casual friendships. All his ways are covenant ways. To change his promises will mean that he told a lie and needed to adjust. So, I mean, can you imagine that God will lie? What for? Trying to impress you? No. Why would God ever adjust what he has said? We know, according to God's word, that his word is true forever. Can I have an amen? And we know from his word that he cannot, number one, and will not, number two, lie. Those are two different things. He cannot and he will not. God cannot lie and God will not lie. Now, a man cannot be pregnant. A man, a normal man, a normal human being, man, male, cannot be pregnant. When you think of that, think of God. God cannot lie. He cannot. A normal human being cannot fly like a bird. I don't know about the Air Force people that fly in the middle of the night, but I'm talking about normal, regular people. You can't fly from here to Satellite Church. You are not an angel. You are not a bird. You are not configured to fly. Even dolphins only jump. They don't fly like birds. They don't have wings to fly. Like birds don't swim like fishes. There are some birds that can go underwater for a short while and come out, but they don't live there. That's not their natural habitat. They would die if they stay longer than necessary. Are you getting what I'm saying? God cannot, number one. Somebody say God cannot. Number two, God will not lie. He cannot lie. He doesn't have the capacity to lie. He is the truth, and there is no lie in him. And he will not even lie, because it is not in his nature and character to lie. All his promises are covenant promises, sworn in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. They cannot fail. I said they cannot fail. Luke 16:17, the Lord Jesus said something very, very instructive. Media, can you put that on the screen? Luke 16:17, he said, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away. Now, we don't understand to pass. Give it to me in NIV, a more contemporary English version. NIV, Luke 16:17, NIV. Look, read everybody. It is easier for heaven and earth to what? To disappear. Than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Easier for heaven and earth to disappear. How easy do you think it is for this earth to disappear? From Nigeria to Australia, disappear. Jesus said it's easier for that to happen than for God's word to turn out to be a lie. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? In Psalm 89 verse 35 that we read earlier, he said, once have I sworn by my holiness. I have sworn. He looked to the heavens, he looked to the earth, none greater than himself. There was nothing he could swear by. People swear by someone or something greater than themselves. I swear by my father's name. I swear by the heavens. I swear by the Bible, like you are made to do in the court of law. They ask you, are you a Christian? If you say yes, they give you a Bible to swear to an oath. Are you a Muslim? You say yes, they give you a Quran to swear to an oath. But what will God use to swear? He said, once have I sworn by my holiness. That makes him God. By my integrity. By my holiness. What did he swear to? That I will not lie to David. He said, I will not. I cannot, but I will not lie to David. If he will not lie to David, and God does not change, don't forget my first statement, my opening statement this morning. I said, God never changes. If he will not lie to David, the psalmist, will he lie to Fred Elegbe, the preacher? Will he lie to Marvelous, the medical student? Will he lie to any member of the Expression House? Will he lie to anybody whosoever in any part of the world? Come and talk to me, church. In 1 Samuel 15:29, when Saul made an error, God told him to go and destroy the Amalekites, but he saved the animals. He liked the big, big things. Big, big cows. Saved them for sacrifice or for consumption. Samuel went to his house and Samuel said, when you were little, listen to me, young people, when you were little in your own eyes, did I not exalt you? Did I not make you king over my people? When you were little in your own eyes. But the guy became a big boy and became too big for his shoes. And this happens to a lot of young people. God lifts people when they are little in their own eyes. That's why James said it in James 5, 1 Peter 5, to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. You see, when you are little in your own eyes, listen to me, be little in your own eyes. Don't let the accolades of men allow your head to swell, and you become stuck up, and you become proud, and you think you have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance. God always resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God said to Saul through Samuel, when you were little in your own eyes, did I not exalt you? When you were little in your own eyes, when you had just a few clothes. Who was Saul? Saul himself, when Samuel came to him and said, the Lord has asked me to anoint you, you are going to be king. He said, who am I that you are greeting me like this, sir? He said, sir, I want you to know that my father's tribe is Benjamin. Benjamin is the least of all the 12 tribes of Israel. And my father's house, Saul, the son of Kish, he said, my father's house is the least in Benjamin, which is the least of all the tribes. And then who am I? The least of the least. Yet, God said, that's the guy for the job. Because the children of Israel were complaining to Samuel, give us a king, give us a king. We need a king, like other nations. But then Saul became a big boy. And then the same God that said someone should anoint him to be king sent a message to him and said, the iniquity of the Amalekites, I remember it today, their cup is full, go and wipe them out. And when he got to the battle, he had a better idea than God. God said, wipe them out. He said, no, save Agag, Agag the king, don't kill him. See some of the fine, big things, save them. So Samuel came by the word of the Lord. Did the Lord not ask you to destroy everything? Yeah, I killed everything, but your servants saw some choice animals and saved them so that we can use them as a sacrifice unto the Lord because the Lord is hungry. Shebin Paloni, is your God hungry? Samuel said to him, to obey is better than sacrifice. If the Lord were hungry, he would not tell you. All the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. How many of us can feed God this morning? You are so rich you can feed God. Samuel then said, in verse 29, 1 Samuel 15, 29, the strength of Israel is not a man. He will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that should repent. The strength of Israel. If you are reading the KJV Bible, that word strength is in capital letter S. That's a person. Until today, he's still the strength of Israel. You see, the nation Israel is being bombarded on every side by enemy nations. They keep firing their missiles and firing and firing and doing everything that they can do. But there is a person who is called the strength of Israel. Capital letter S. His name is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. No nation can conquer Israel in the whole world. It's a covenant. But the point I wanted to see this morning is that Samuel said to him, hey, the strength of Israel will not lie. He cannot lie. He will not lie. Whatever he says stands. Numbers 23, 19. Numbers 23, 19. Numbers 23, 19. Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man. Everybody read. One, two, go. God. One, two, go. God is not a man. One, two, go. Louder. God is not a man. That he should lie. Neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said? Will he not do it? Has he promised? Has he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Can I have an amen? Amen? Whatever he says stands. And the MC gave us a word this morning, part of my scriptures, 1 Kings 8:56. Put that on the screen, everybody. Oh, media, and then everybody read. 1 Kings 8:56. Oh, glory to God. The covenant-keeping God who does not lie. When he looks at you and says you are blessed, guess what? Okay, they can't guess. I say when he looks at you and says you are blessed, guess what? When he looks at you and says you are healed, guess what? When did you get healed? The moment he said so. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh that has given rest unto his people Israel. And you can make this your confession. Blessed be God who has given PFE rest. I have rest. I have rest. I don't have agitations. I don't have palpitations. I don't have anxiety. I have rest. Blessed be God who has given unto his people rest. According to all that he promised. According to how much that he promised. Come on, talk to me. According to how much that he promised. All. A-L-L. All is all. Every. All that he promised. He doesn't lack the power to fulfill his promise. There hath not failed. How many words? Come on, talk to me, church. There had not failed. How many words? One word. Not one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses' servant. Not one has failed. Not one. Not one. Not one. It's similar to what Joshua said in Joshua 21:45. Joshua 21:45. Media. Joshua 21:45. Joshua 21:45. In the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. The computer has frozen. They are failed not out of any good thing. Does that sound like what we just read now? Any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, how much came to pass? Come on, shout it. How much of it came to pass? Oh, if God has given you promises, listen, how many of them will come to pass? If you believe, all. You don't need any other God outside the Almighty God. He is more than enough. All came to pass. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6, 18, for by two immutable things, with which is what it was impossible for God to lie. Impossible for God to lie. So even if God wants to lie, the Bible says it's impossible. Impossible for him to lie. I hope nobody's messing around on their mobile phone. I hope you are listening to a message that will transform your life. Titus 1, 2. God will not lie. God will not lie. Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal salvation, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, cannot. We have heard will not, shall not, should not. Now we are saying cannot, which God that cannot lie promised before the word began. God will not lie. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. But Pastor, I believe God's word last year. I stood on his promises. It didn't come to pass. It didn't work. No, the word of God stood on you last year. The promises stood on you. The covenant stood on you. You did not work. The word works. And the word of God is no respecter of any persons. In any nation where God is esteemed, highly esteemed, they have results. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, friends. His ways are covenant highways, leading to an abundant life here and hereafter. Isaiah 55, 7 to 9. Isaiah 55, 7 to 9. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Next verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Next verse. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Covenant highways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Are you with me, church? Let me show you a covenant that God caught with Abraham. Genesis 15. Genesis 15. I'm not going to read all of it because of our time. I'm just going to paraphrase. When you get home, you can read. Verses 8 to 21. I'm just going to take a few verses there. God caught. See, God is a covenant-keeping God. When in Genesis chapter 2 into 3, when man fell, the first man fell, you know what they did? They discovered that they were naked, right? They were covered with the glory before. They were not naked. Sin stripped them of the glory and they became naked, right? Then they made some designer clothes for themselves. The Bible says they made suits of fig leaves. Fig leaves. Can you imagine if we all came to church in fig leaves this morning? Fig leaves. Leaves all over. God said, don't be dumb. God killed an animal, took the skin of the animal to cover them. The killing of that animal involved the shedding of blood. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was the first mention of a covenant made by blood in the Bible, in Genesis. Now, fast forward. God was relating to Abraham. Abraham didn't have a child. And of course, he was bothered, like every other person. I'm serving you. I don't have a child. Now, God now said to him, don't worry. Look abroad. See all the stars in the sky. Your children are going to be like that. Innumerable in number. Oh Lord, this is beautiful. But how will I know that this is going to happen? Now, God said, go to verse 9. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided did not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, God spoke out of that, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. This was talking about the captivity in Egypt. It had not happened before God spoke about it. God had spoken about it long before Jacob was born. Jacob was not yet born here. In fact, Isaac was not yet born here, the father of Jacob. When God had already told Abraham what was going to happen. Anything and everything that is going to happen in your life has already been prophesied and foretold by God. And I can tell you, if you grab this Bible and spend quality time with it, you will discover things that have been prophesied about your life before your father and your mother ever came together. And they are good stuff. They are good covenant promises. Can I have an amen? Amen. So, what happened? And also that nation, whom they shall serve, will I judge. And that happened in Exodus 14. I will judge that nation, and afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Your great-grandchildren will come out with great substance. They will be rich. They will be prosperous. God said that. And can somebody say amen? And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, in shalom. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. When we go home, we'll go home in a good old age. Amen. Nobody is going to die young in this church in the name of Jesus. Nobody watching, listening online is going to die young in the name of Jesus. Good old age. If God knows what good old age is, then we should go for good old age. Does God know good old age? Should we also settle for good old age? Yeah. He didn't just say old age. He said good old age. Good. German people say good or guten. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Let them keep committing their iniquity. When the cup is full, I'll deal with them. And some people also need to think this morning. When you are misbehaving, if you keep doing what you like, when what you like doing is not what God likes, a time is coming, you will not like what you are doing. A word for the wise. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, somebody says it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Who was that smoking furnace and burning lamp? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It was dark. Abraham was falling asleep. Like some of you are falling asleep this morning. Receive strength in the name of Jesus to stay awake. And the light, Abraham had cut the animals into two pieces. God told him, slice them. And he opened them like this, two pieces. So there was blood in between them. That was the walkway. And God was walking in the midst of the two pieces, walking on that blood and in the blood. And as he was walking in the blood, he was making pronouncements. He was telling Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. This is what is going to happen to your children. They are really going to be blessed. They will come out with a substance. God was swearing and making promises inside blood. So when people cut, there are different kinds of covenant. There is salt covenant. I don't have time to go there this morning. Let me dwell in blood covenant. Blood covenant. When people cut covenant by blood, in Africa, what some people do is they will get a representative to represent the whole family, this particular family, and this other family, they will get a representative. All right? Maybe this family, they are smart intellectually, but they are not physically strong, so they cannot fight enemies that come against them. But they can use their brain to bring prosperity. So when armed robbers come, or big boys come, they beat them and take away their stuff. So they now say, look, let's go to this family. This other family, they are not very smart upstairs, but they have muscle. They have bronze. So we have brains, they have bronze. So brains, Mr. Brain and Mr. Brawn want to come together. Mr. Brawn, B-R-A-W-N, that's another word for muscle. So we want to align so that when We make money with our brain. And enemies come and they want to fight us. You will stand up and fight them. But because you are not very smart, you don't have food at home. We have plenty of food. We will supply you food. You will supply us security. Are you getting what I'm saying? Simple. And then, let's say the Johnson family and the Kolawole family would now say, okay, we bring Kolawole family, we are the people that have all the strength. Johnson family, they have all the brain. All right? So, somebody will represent the Kolawole family. Somebody will represent the Johnson family. And on the day of the covenant is a big ceremony. Huge. The entire city, the entire town and the village will be there. And there's a priest. So, representative step forward, he will step forward. You also step forward, he will step forward. Now, they will be making like what they call contracts or promises to each other. The first person will say, any day, anytime that you need food, and I have food in my house, I'm going to give you food. Anytime you come, because today you are becoming my covenant brother, when you come, or your children come, or your children's children come, or your children's children's children come to my compound for food, we shall supply them the food that we have in our store. Now, any day an enemy comes against us to harass us, and they want to beat us, and we send for you, you must come to come and fight for us. And he will say, amen. Then he will say, if at any time you come to my house and there is food in my house and you ask for food and I lie to you and I tell you I don't have food because I don't want to give you, may all the curses in the world, may they come upon me and upon my children and upon all my descendants and all my family here seated. And they will say, amen. And if any day comes and I send for you to come and fight for me, and you fail to come, and you give excuses, and you refuse, and the enemies come, and they cut away my stuff. May all the curses of this covenant, may they come upon your head. It will say amen, and upon your children, and upon Jesus' children, and upon your generations. And they will say amen. He too will take his own oath. So the two of them will take oath. Then they will get a glass, a cup. They will make incisions in their hand, and get some blood out into the cup. Get this person's blood out. And the priest will mix the blood together. When blood mixes with blood, can you tell the difference anymore? Because, oh no, I see my blood here. Your own blood is under. Mine is on top. No. Blood becomes one. He has made us of one blood. Can I have an amen? If you caught a white man, his blood is red. If you caught a brown man, I don't know if there's any white man. Because I've never seen a white person before. Everybody's, I think they are pinkish yellow. We are chocolate brown. You mix the blood. After mixing the blood, guess what they will do? They will drink the blood to seal the covenant. This is forever sealed. You know what their names will now be? They will change names. Johnson family will add Kolawole to their name. This now becomes the Johnson Kolawole family. Kolawole family will change their names. This now becomes the Kolawole Johnson family. That's why you see some compound names out there. Covenant. The two families have become one by covenant. If an enemy comes in the dead of the night with AK-47, with dangerous weapons, to harass the Kolawales, all they need to do is send an alarm, send a text message, send someone on errand to run to the Johnson family. I tell you, if you come against the Johnson family, if you come against them thinking they are small, they can't fight, wait for it. The big brother is coming. By the time the Kolawales show up, you are in trouble, because they will beat the hell out of you, because that is my covenant brother. Hey, if you slap my covenant brother, I will slap you without asking what happened. Did you get what I said? When somebody is in a covenant relationship, if you slap them, their covenant partner will show up and slap you without asking whether you are the one who is right or wrong. That's the power of the covenant. And hey, we got Jesus as our big brother. So when the enemy comes to slap us, he doesn't ask, oh, what did you do to Satan? No. He gives him combination and picks us up. Are you getting what I'm saying? The power of the covenant. And anytime these guys need bread, they come over, you don't give them excuses. You bring bread out and give it to them. Give me my 10 minutes back. Glory be to God. The law of give and take. But really, are you guys getting blessed? Yes, I'm going to wrap this up. There was another covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis 17. We've read the one in Genesis 15. Go to Genesis 17. Now, before we go there, read verse 18. Genesis 15, 18. Thank you, media. 15, 18. Everybody, I want us to read it. 15, 18. Want to go? In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with who? Abraham. Saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Bible says that same day God made a covenant with Abraham. God was the one walking in the blood of those animals. The blood of those animals was a shadow of the blood of the everlasting covenant, which is to come, which is the blood of Jesus. Under the old covenant, everything you see is a type and a shadow of what is to come in the new. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, did God make a covenant that day with Abraham? Come on, talk to me with Abraham. Now, notice his name was Abraham. Go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17 is the whole chapter here, but I cannot read the whole chapter because of the little time that you guys have given me. Try to be generous with time. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, now he was 99. Let me summarize this. Abraham was 99. God showed up and God said, Abraham, guess what? I'm the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. It was a rebuke because Abraham was already been shaky. After the first covenant, he was still shaky. Like all of us, when you're in church, your faith is very high. When you get back home, hey, we don't know. I hope this condition will not come back. Oh, I hope somebody will not be broke again. I hope you have been shaky again. Shaky by what you see, by what is happening around you. So God said, hey, Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. Be perfect. And Abraham said, sir, yes, sir. And see what Abraham said. Next verse. And God said, and I will make my covenant between me and you. But God, you made a covenant before. And I will multiply you exceedingly. Long story short, God said to Abraham, verse 9. God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Verse 10, this is my covenant, which you shall keep, right? Between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, Abraham. And it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. A 99-year-old man to go for circumcision. Nobody's minor here. All of you are 18 and above. So you know what circumcision means. And you know the part of a man that is circumcised. It is not his forehead. Amen? Circumcision is so painful that they normally, in modern science, they normally do it before a child turns 8 days. So when you give birth to a male child, or in some cases, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, but before a child grows up to know pain, if you were to be circumcised at this age, all of you guys, on Valentine's Day, you will not be in church this morning. Those who will come to church will wear jalamia, and they will bend down like this to church. Those are the technical people. They have only come to honor me. Set up media, set up sound, set up everything. And before I arrive, they will go back home. Because the pain will be excruciating. You can't stand straight. You cannot. Abraham was 99. Abraham surrendered himself to be circumcised. At 99. In the same day, all the male children in his house were circumcised. In fact, God was so serious, God said something in verse 11. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. A symbol of the covenant, right? Next verse. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. every man child in your generations, till today, he that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Listen. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. David took it up. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Today he will die. Because God said so. The covenant was for Abraham and his descendants, of whom David was one of them. This Goliath of Gath was not there when God was making a covenant with our forefather Abraham. So now we know that we are circumcised. And I can tell you, these guys don't serve the living God early on. They are uncircumcised guys. They need to go. David was covenant conscious. I will wrap today's message up along that line. Permit me to just read just a few verses here to show you something. In this same chapter, God changed the name of Abram. It was Abram before. God changed his name to Abraham. He introduced H into his name. And that's going to be verse 5. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, which means exalted father. But thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. What I have said about you must come to pass. Listen, church, every good thing God has said about you in the mighty name of Jesus will come to pass. God said your name will no longer be Abram. I'm introducing my name. The H there is God's name, Hashem. Hashem. So it's no longer Abram, it's Abraham. The H there is Hashem. That's God's name. God introduced his name into Abraham's name. Don't forget Kolawole Johnson. Johnson Kolawole. Do you understand that? Covenant. Covenant. I have caught a covenant with you. I'm going to put my name in your name. And even your name into my name. You remember when Abraham now later met, when he met Melchizedek, the priest, he was before this. He met Melchizedek. Melchizedek called him Abraham of the Most High God. Possessor of the heavens and the earth. He called Abraham possessor of the heaven and the earth. God is the possessor, we know. But one with God. If you go with God into an exam, you will come out successful. Go with God into a court trial, you will come out vindicated. Go with God into that business interview, you will get the contract. Go with God, I charge you this week, go with God into your business and see what only God can do in your life. If they have been built for surgery, go with God into that surgery theater. You come out alive. Can I have an amen? Amen. It is the power of the covenant. You must know, number one, know that you have a covenant. Number two, be conscious of the covenant. God changed Sarai's name. Mama Sarah was Sarai. God said, her name shall no longer be called Sarai. Her name shall be called Sarah with the H. That's that about Genesis. Let me wrap it up. Ooh, glory to God. Fast forward. Can you imagine what happened that day in Genesis 17 as all the male children were being, they took off their boxer shorts and all the jalamia that they used to wear back in the day. They said, oh yeah. Oh, glory to God. No, it was painful. Not only that, there was blood everywhere. It was a bloody day in the household of Abraham. From the father, the oldest man, to the youngest child. It was painful. But God said that will be the token of my covenant. If you are going to walk with God, it will cost you something. Enough is enough with convenience Christianity. The Christianity of convenience. When I have money, I will go to church. When the church bus comes to pick me, I will attend service. If I miss the church bus, that means I've missed church that day. I will chill at home and try and join online. If I don't have money, I can't trek to church. Oh, I can't kill myself, especially for evangelism. I'll be winning souls where I am. I can't stress myself, Jerry. I can't pray for 1 hour. 1 hour for what? Is God wicked? 10 minutes. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Ado be thy name, thy kingdom come. Our Father, look at in heaven. Ado be thy name, thy kingdom come. That will be done on earth in heaven. And you want to grow. If you want to go far with God, it's going to cost you something. You're going to sit down and open your Bible and read. You're going to fall asleep and wake up and read again and study and meditate. Revelation is in the womb of meditation. Meditation takes time. You'll be given to prayer. You'll be given to fasting. Fasting is not easy on anybody's flesh. But if you're going to be a Christian for a long time, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, when thou fastest, not if you fast, when you fast. In other words, you are expected to fast. The whole of Matthew 6 from verse 1 all the way to 16 talks about fasting and prayer. It will cost you something. It will cost you something. Are you with me, church? Blood everywhere on that day. You could hardly walk a step or two without almost stepping on blood. The promises of God are bathed in the blood of Jesus. I'm bringing that to next week. Next week, I want to show you what is our place in the new covenant. But before I go to what is our place in the new covenant, I want to show you a young man by the name David, who understood and carried the consciousness of the old covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Remember, God said with his mouth, any male child that is not circumcised, Genesis 17 and verse 14, the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Who said that? God Almighty said that to Abraham. These covenants were rehearsed to their children, to their children's children, to their children's children, until it got to David. What then was the difference between David and Saul? Because Saul was anointed king of Israel. Saul was the tallest man in Israel from his shoulder up. Saul went to that battle. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Saul was in that battle in 1 Samuel 17. But Saul could not lift a finger. In fact, he went into hiding. Goliath of Gath came out for 40 days. 40 days challenging Israel. Have you found a man? Bring him up here. Let him fight me. If he can beat me, we'll become your slaves. All right? But if I kill him and I beat him up, you all become our slaves. And he came out 40 days, every day. 1 Samuel 17, 14. He came out every day and spoke for 40 days. Israel could not produce one man. Go down to verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself. How many days? 40 days. The same 40 days that Jesus went to the wilderness to fast and to pray. Goliath came out harassing them morning and evening. In the morning, he'll come out. Good morning, my neighbor, the Israelites. All of you chickens, how are you? Have you found a man that can fight me? Let him come if I will not kill him and sacrifice his blood to Ashtaroth, my God. In the morning, nobody could come out. In the evening again, hello, my neighbor, the chickens of Israel, the chickens of the Most High God, where are you? And he was harassing them. There are conditions that harass us like that. Situations that harass us, morning and night. And it will continue until somebody that is covenant conscious stands and says, enough is enough with satanic harassment in this family. Then the youngest of the sons of Jesse was sent by his father to go and give food to his brothers. And he happened to come at the time that the Philistine came out again and was saying the same words. And David said, verse 26, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 26, I believe. I'm wrapping up. I wanted to go home with this. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth in his mind? I will kill this guy. He didn't say, what shall be done to the man that defeats? No, I will kill him. Children of God must have a mentality of a conqueror. I will kill this disease in our family. I will not manage it. I will kill it. I'm the one to kill poverty in this family. I will kill it. What shall be done to the man that killed this Philistine? And taketh away the reproach from Israel. Look at the question. For who is this? Have you found it? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Uncircumcised Philistine. First of all, David separated him from the covenant. He's uncovenanted. So he's a stranger. He qualifies to die. Amen? Because according to Genesis, he qualifies to die. Saul did not know. Saul was anointed like David was anointed. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Samuel anointed Saul. Saul became a powerful man. Samuel said to him, when you depart from me today, when you get to Rachel's sepulcher, you will find two men there. They will salute you. You move on from there. You get to the plain Tabor. You will see three men who are going up to the mountain of the Lord, to the hill of the Lord. One of them is carrying three kids. One of them, three loaves of bread. The third one carrying a bottle of wine. They will give you two loaves of bread. Take it from them. When you move from there, you will come to the company of prophets. You will come to the hill of the Lord. And when you get there, he said, when all these things happen, do as occasion serves you. Saul was so anointed. He experienced everything Samuel said. When he got to the company of the prophets, immediately he joined them. He started prophesying. He so prophesied that till today became a proverb in Israel. Is Saul also among the prophets? What happened to him? The company you keep will determine what accompanies you. He came to the company of the prophets. He prophesied. When a young lady comes to the company of prostitutes, she will prostitute. When a young man comes to the company of Yahoo boys, he will Yahoo. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men may be a fool, but shall be wise. Your company rubs off on you. Choose your company. You don't have another life. All of us have one chance, one slot. Only one, only one. Choose your friends. Choose your friends. Choose your friends. Choose your friends. Choose your friends carefully. He came to the company of prophets. Boom. He started prophesying. He was anointed, man. He was anointed. Go to 1 Samuel 16. Jesse. Now, Samuel went to the house of Jesse. Because by 1 Samuel 15, Saul has misbehaved. And God chose another man. He found David. Anointed him with holy oil. In 1 Samuel 16, David became anointed like Saul. But in the day of battle, what made the difference between the two anointed men? Saul was anointed, David was anointed. Listen to me. You know the difference? Saul was not covenant conscious. David was covenant conscious. I am not afraid of an anointed man. I'm afraid of a covenant man. Are we all anointed? Yes, we are. We all speak in tongues. We have the Holy Ghost. We are anointed. But do we all carry covenant consciousness? Covenant consciousness cannot be hidden. It shows in your words. David said that we kill him. What shall be done for the man that kills this guy? I need to kill this guy and take the reproach away from Israel because he has defied the armies. They didn't even know. They saw an army. He saw armies. Armies means plural. Israel has a spiritual army as well as a physical army. They only saw the physical. David, small boy, 17, already knew that one of the covenant names of God is El Sabaoth. El Sabaoth means the God of angel armies. So as you have a physical army, you also have a spiritual army. Are you getting what I'm saying? So David now said, this Goliath of God has embarrassed, he has embarrassed both the physical army and the spiritual army. Michael heard that in heaven. What? We will kill this guy today. we kill him today. There's a way you can pitch your battle, pitch your enemy against God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look at you. Church, 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 every day. Nothing to show for it. Thank you. Father, you had them. They said church, church, church every day. Nothing to show. Exams are coming. I have read. Help me. God will answer them. When persecution was too much for me at the time, in the church, I said to God, I said, my God, answer them. One by one, he's still answering them today. Don't just walk around. You are a covenant child of God. It was the strength of this covenant that David took to the battle. Do you know? David met fire extinguishers on the way. Be careful of human beings that are fire extinguishers. When you carry fire, there are people that will tell you, no, you can't do it. You can't study medicine. Forget it. Go for physiotherapy. One more. It's not people, someone like you. The shape of your head does not look like the shape of the head of a medical doctor. Who said so? Tech guys, creatives, you have a brilliant idea. Man, if this thing hits, you know, the media space, it's going to make a lot of money and it's going to bring glory to God. Somebody will tell you, they don't accept this kind of script in Hollywood. They can't accept it anywhere. You can't say. That is a fire extinguisher. I preached a message many years ago in this hall. Beware of fire extinguishers. Number one that David met was his own elder brother, Eliab. Big chest. Eliab. Eliab. He was very big. Samuel would have mistakenly anointed him as king of Israel. He showed up like this. God said, no, I've rejected him. You look at the countenance, I'm looking at the heart. The first question he asked David, David, I know you. I know what you have come to do. You have come to do Amebo at the war front. You have come to see how things are going on. With whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He was in the battlefield. His heart was with the sheep in the wilderness. He was an able man. Nah. On election day, everybody, you don't go to shop. Everybody's at home. Everybody's going to vote. Nah, man. They are inside the shop. Go to Areshiroye. When you get to Areshiroye, just say, all the shops are closed. Just, where can I buy jeans worth 500,000? Window will open. Burst. Are they original jeans? Apologies to the Igbos. I love you, you know. Eliab was in the war front. His mind was on the sheep at home. How can he win a battle? As he was running, he was thinking of sheep. As Goliath came, sheep. Whoa. Just say what you want to say. We run back. We comfort, we go back. Comfort, go. After a while, the king will say, let's go home. And I can go back to my business. Number one, fire extinguisher. Many, many times, the people of your household, they may not be your family members, people in your close circuit, they will discourage you. We call it see finish people. People who think they've seen you finish. They know everything about you. They know all your potential. You can't do, if you write that book, they won't buy it. They will not. I'm advising you now. Go ahead. If you're convinced by God to do it, do it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Number two, Saul himself, the king. Saul said to David, read the entire chapter when you get home. I don't have time to read it now. I'm even taking extra time. Saul said, you are a youth. The person you want to fight has been a warrior from his youth. In other words, where you are now, he started from there. You've got no war experience. How many years experience do you have in Kung Fu? David says zero. How about Judo? No, sir. How about Taekwondo? No, sir. Ah. So, what have you been doing? Hide and seek. What have you been doing? I've been killing birds. No, David didn't give him that answer. He said to David, you are not able. David said, yeah. In me, no power. But there's a God. El Elohe Israel. God, the God of Israel. Sir, there was a day. Before I forget, in that chapter, David referred to Goliath twice as the uncircumcised Philistine. Please don't forget that as you go home today. The uncircumcised Philistine. And he was circumcised. Sir, Alima Sonyoba was circumcised. Meaning, he doesn't have a covenant with the living God. I will kill him by the covenant. I swear. Because in the covenant, you are not alone. You have a covenant partner that is stronger than you, bigger than you, mightier than you. They see small you, but they underrate you at their own peril. Did you hear what I said? 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You are not about to. You have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you, covenant, than he that is in the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say, I am not alone. I am not ordinary. That's how a covenant person thinks. Verse 26, verse 36, he referred to Goliath as the uncircumcised Philistine. Refer to the challenges of your life as uncircumcised. They are not part of the covenant. There's a symptom in your body. The doctors have given you a diagnosis. It's a damning diagnosis. Refer to it as an uncircumcised Philistine because Jesus did not put it there. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not part of the covenant for your business to not be moving. It's not part of the covenant for you not to understand what your lecturers are teaching you. It's not part of the covenant. So anything that's not part of the covenant, get it out of the way. Delete it. Delete. Control Alt. Delete. David said, sir, there was a day I went out. Experience. Please journal your experiences with God. The day God healed you of that sickness, write it down. They are your stories. Your testimonies are your stories. You've shared it before. Thank you. It's mine. I will share it again. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12:11. There was a day, sir, King Saul, I went out to my father's field. A lion came, a bear came, took an animal. I chased after him. When he turned back, I rescued the animal from his mouth. Then he turned against me. I caught him by the beard and I smote him. Bare hands, no sword. I killed the lion. It's in the DNA of lions to kill. Lions kill without apologies. It's normal. They kill. Normal. Do you know you are a spiritual lion? I'm not asking you to kill people. Kill situations. Kill the works of the flesh. Paul said, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the spirit. Kill fornication. Stop excusing it, sir. It's my weakness. It's our family weakness. My daddy, oh, my grandpa, me, I can see the weakness in me already. Wake up and slap yourself. Kill that thing so it does not kill you. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a place you are going in God is a glorious place. May you get there. Covenant people, there's a way they behave. David said, I killed the lion. When the bear tried the same thing, I killed the bear. It did not learn from the lion. I killed it too. Two examples. Sir, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. I will kill him. Eh? Did you say you will beat him? No, I will kill him. K-I double hockey sticks. I will K-I double hockey sticks. I will kill that alone. Mark, I will kill him. Saul looked at him. It's okay. David said, moreover, sir, before I go, OAPC, now before Rigel. It's called Lincoln Thinking R. Now before Rigel. When they are reading the news. Now before Rigel. So David said, now before Rigel. The Lord who delivered me from the paws of the bear and from the paws of the lion. That same God will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine, because he will be like one of them. And that same God will deliver him into my hands, and I will kill him. Saul said, okay, peace be unto you. Go. But before you go, come. You are not armed. You see, Saul kept operating through carnality, through logic. How do you logically go and fight a battle without arms and ammunition? And David was a handsome boy. Ruddy. Good to look at. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Saul said, come here, come here. What's his name? Come here. Bring my weapons. Oga. Yusuf, get weapon. Why you don't use them? Oh yeah. Give it to him. David wore it. The Bible says he wore a coat of mail. I don't know whether it's email. A coat of mail, very heavy. When he wore that thing, the Bible says he has said to go. He tried to go. Say, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I have not proven. David was wise. He didn't say they are not good, sir. He said, I have not proven them. I have not rehearsed with them before. Let me go and use the one I've been rehearsing with. It will not be nice that on the day of the orchestral performance, that's the first time I will be playing the violin. I have not rehearsed violin before. I will mess up the whole thing. I don't know what to do. He went to the brook and chose five smooth stones. Somebody say five smooth stones. Five, the number of grace. And he stepped out. And Goliath saw him. The Bible says he looked about. Because David wasn't very tall. Unlike Saul, very tall. David was like me, my height. So David, now, Goliath did not see him. Now saw him. Ah. Then when he saw him, very ridiculous. Catapult and a shepherd's bag. Pekele, pekele, arubo, jegbe, setanio, son. That's Spanish. Am I a dog? He qualified himself. David said, yes, you are. As thou hast spoken, you know the rest of the story. Goliath advanced towards him, spoke only about maybe 33 words. I thought we'd do that today, but we don't have time. Another time we'll do it. We'll count the number of words. Maybe next week. David spoke over 100 words. Your confession is important. If you're a covenant-conscious person, it will show in your confession. Today, I will kill you. Today, I will cut off your head. Today, you can imagine David doing like this. Today, say, I will kill you. Today, I will cut off your head. Today, I will finish you. I will give all the carcasses of the armies of the field. Only one boy. All the armies. I will give your carcass, your bodies, your cadaver to the fowls of the air. And you will know there's a God in Israel. I will finish you. I will kill you. He was the last person that spoke before they collided. Goliath had kept quiet. I'm sure he was in shock. This small boy. He was already having palpitation. I will kill it. I will feel it. I will cut off. So before evil, let me grab this boy. The stone came. Boom. The boy that said, I will kill you, he had no sword. He stood on him. He removed the sword. He used the sword to cut off his head. The same sword he pointed at David. Stand on your feet, everybody. The covenant-keeping God. Part 2, next Sunday, our place in the new covenant. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We honor you and we praise you. Thank you for what you have released to us. We go in the strength of the consciousness of the covenant that we have with you. Not with the blood of animals, like they did under the old covenant, but with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13:20, in the new covenant. So Father, as we enter this week, we go in your name and by your power. We go carrying the consciousness of the covenant that we have with you. Because you cannot fail, we will not fail. One person said, amen, Lord. Because you cannot fail, we will not fail. Because you cannot be defeated, we will not be defeated. On the strength of the covenant ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And so I decree and declare that we are blessed this week. We are blessed going out. We carry on us and in us covenant blessings. And so we carry covenant favor. People who like us will favor us. People who don't even like us will favor us. They will walk, our enemies will walk in our favor. They may criticize us. You will use that to advertise us to those who need to hear about us in the mighty name of Jesus. This week, Lord, as we tell people about Christ, they will surrender their hearts to Jesus. This week, Lord, we will live like your children. We will not live like the rest of the world. We will not live like the children of the devil in the mighty name of Jesus. Can I get a good amen? This week, everything we do will please heaven. We will do only the things that please God. We will not please our flesh. We will not please the devil. We will not please the world. We will please you and you alone. And you will stand up for us where it is necessary. Lord, I pray for your children this week. Everywhere, wherever their names are called for mentioning, let the blood of Jesus speak for them. I don't know what meetings are going to be held in your absence this week, and your name will be mentioned in that meeting. The blood of Jesus will speak for you. Say an amen that is alive. Where decisions are going to be made that will affect you this week, may the Lord raise the strongest influence, the person whose voice will be loudest in that meeting, in your favor. I saw in my Bible in 1 Samuel 10 that when Saul was anointed king, he went back home and a band of men followed him whom God had touched. The men that God has touched all over the world will locate you this week. God will give you the gift of men. Your men will not be few. Recommenders. Recommenders. Linkers. Linkers. Kelo brahaste ligrahasta labahaya. As you walk in the covenant, the consciousness of this covenant this week, you are protected. No kidnapper around you. If they show up one way, they will disappear seven ways. The covenant in the blood of Jesus will speak for you. Cultists will be far from you. Rapists will be far from you. Armed robbers will be far from you. Every agent of Satan will be far from you. In the name of Jesus. Those who have sworn to hurt you, some men rose up and said, we will not eat, we will not drink until we kill Paul. If there be people like that in your life who have sworn an oath that until they destroy you, that they will not rest, they will never rest. Today, we take their rest away from them. Because their hands will not be able to perform their enterprise. The mighty one of Israel will protect you. As you go out, you are protected. Three people said amen. Lord, hear the voices of the few that are saying amen, Lord. As you go out, you are protected. As you come in, you are protected. The Lord will be round about you as mountains are round about Jerusalem. In the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever you touch this week turns to gold. God will prosper the works of your hands. Those of you that have no work yet because you have no idea what to do, this week, ideas will drop. insights, concepts, and ideas from heaven will drop into your spirit in the name of Jesus. Those of you that have been long forgotten, God will cause men to remember you. From the end of this service, phone calls will come in. Emails will come in. Text messages carrying good news will come in. They will say, where have you been? We have been looking for you. 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 Help, help is here in the name of Jesus. You will be marvelously helped. I said you will be marvelously helped. I said you will be marvelously helped. I said you will be marvelously helped. I'm not talking about small help. Marvelous help. Marvelous help. The help that your enemies cannot deny. Marvelous help. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Hallelujah.